that there's Baron Trump. That was the I want my suitcase.
I like my suitcase.
So it was like Borat. All right. We are very, very pleased to have Joe Cimino back in the studio. And Joe is he's looking tanned. He's looking good. He's fresh off the Hawaiian beaches. But you've decided to come back to South Africa. You and Ryan, for a visit, you permanently.
Yes. Yes,
nice to see you, man.
It's like that Toto song, you know, the rains in Africa, man. Yeah. I'm back. I enjoyed a little bit of America,
yeah,
but just a little bit, a little bit.
Well, Hawaii isn't really America. Yeah. I mean,
no, agreed.
You know, it is, and it isn't. It is also probably the furthest place from here.
Exactly. I mean, it's 12 hours. It's the other side of the
earth. But if you fly there, how long does it take you?
Well, I don't know. When I flew back here, I had to go from Hawaii to Seattle, Seattle to Detroit, Detroit to Chicago, Chicago to Heathrow, Heathrow here.
Wow.
That just sounds
hard. Like 4 days of solid travel.
Yeah,
wow.
And they claim, you know, I did first class, you know, out of America. And what? Guckman. There's no first class. It's a big seat. There's no television monitor. There's no pillow, there's no covers, there's no nothing.
They made you pay for nothing,
nothing
extra. And you hate that.
First class on every single flight.
No, I did business class from out of Chicago to on British Airways.
You don't like being ripped off, and you stand up for other people who get ripped off all the time. But I am pleased because, first of all, we need your... Listen, we spoke to you when you were in Hawaii. I remember we did a couple of crossings to you. And it looked like you were having a good time. And obviously, people must go wherever they want to go in the world, and you wanted to try it out. America is a fascinating country. I think that what's going on there now is probably going to be amazing to watch, either from inside or out.
Agreed.
But there is something about this place, and I love the way that you use the word cuck. I mean,
exactly.
South Africa is just great. There is so much going on here. It's cuck-lacking. But it is, right? And I mean, I think there are a lot of people who want to come back, but they don't have the balls to do it. And I just want to say, if anybody listening to this show or watching us from anywhere in the world, if you decided to leave and you may be having second thoughts and you want to come back here, you've got friends here, family here, or whatever else, don't worry about what they say.
Yeah.
Do what makes you happy. And nobody has to explain why they moved somewhere or moved back. Just like you don't have to explain why you leave South Africa. It's totally up to you. It's your business. And everybody else must just shut up and mind their own.
Bingo.
Right?
Live your own life.
Live your own life. So have you been scouring the ATMs like you used to before?
I've only been back a couple of weeks, so no, not yet. Not
I love
yet.
It. So Joe is famous because what he used to do, I love this, and he just mentioned it casually once on the show, and it's research, so I mean... In some ways, it's probably better research than most people do who are financial advisors.
Hands on.
They look at, you know, the macroeconomic statistics, but they don't deal with real people. What you used to do is Joe would go to the ATM machines around town, and if he was withdrawing money, he'd just take all the slips that everybody had put in the rubbish next to the machine, and then he'd take them home and he'd put them all out on his desk, and he'd look at how much people had in their account.
Yeah, or
because
how much they didn't have in their account.
A week after payday.
Right,
ooh.
A week after payday.
Ooh, okay.
And he would find the most amazing stuff about just how unhealthy most people's spending and behavioral habits are around their money.
Yep, I'll tell you what, that's what I saw in America. In America, they hit over $1 trillion now in credit card debt. Everybody's getting credit cards. I know a girl who, what they're doing when they offer you a credit card, they give you 0% interest for a year.
Yeah.
So she keeps getting new credit cards and then rolling her old balances onto the 0%. But at the same time, she keeps using them and keeps growing what she owes, you know. And it's just, I mean, I got caught up with that back in the 90s. They did that to me. They pulled a little shitty on me, NBNA Visa. I won't mention who it was. And they said, oh, you're platinum material. We'll give you 0% for a year. Well, after that year, they counted it as a cash advance, and the interest was daily, not monthly.
Oh, wow.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, because it's not a purchase.
Are they allowed to do that?
Oh, wow. I think that's Joe Biden's hometown, isn't it? Delaware, isn't that where all the credit card companies are
at? That's right.
So,
Yeah.
In fact, they all operate on Delaware law, which is also the place you start a Delaware corporation when you want to open an American company from outside of America.
Mm, I didn't
so
know
there's
that.
Plenty of stuff going on there that's not so kosher.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And all so right, that hurt me. Oof.
So, Joe, you've said, and I don't want you to sit here and just talk about finance with us this morning, but everybody's aching to know all these things. I mean, I can see here a couple of questions already popping in.
This time of year. Oof.
Yeah, I mean...
There's still Christmas to go. It's going to be a long month.
This is probably where you become very unpopular, but people still like to hear it.
I'm used to it.
People waste money on stuff at this time of year. I mean, one of your questions for us, Ryan, is like, what is everybody doing for the holidays?
Yeah.
And I have to be frank with you, and I've said it before on the show, I don't have any plans yet. And I don't know if I'm going to go anywhere or do anything that I absolutely don't have to do. There's one of my friends who are getting married in Cape Town in December, and that's literally, I'll go down for a day.
But you've also done some traveling this year.
I have a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But I'm not looking to be spending outrageously at the moment. And that goes for everything, including... toning down the Christmas presents, because I'm a giver with Christmas presents. Yeah. I love buying people Christmas presents, and it's so easy to do now. You can do it from your bed at night on your phone. The temptation is strong.
But I mean, you also look at family sizes. So, for instance, if you look at just your mom, your dad, your siblings, and your brother's children,
yeah,
that's quite a substantial family unit. For instance, for me, it's my mom and my brother. That's all.
So you're just thinking you can spend more now.
I just have to buy two gifts.
Yeah, and you can think very carefully about those and be quite you're thoughtful about how you...
Mindful
of, yeah, how much you spend.
Not too demure, but very mindful.
Not too many people are mindful, though.
Yeah.
Not too many people are mindful. I'm one of those guys. I give gifts that you can actually use, you know, and a lot of thought went into it.
Exactly.
Whereas I get the cheap bottle of wine... Unaerated. Yeah. I want to go on the show right now and tell everybody that. I learned something from Paul 802. He's in England right now. He moved back there. He was on Vel de Vie wine estate with Rick Nietling or whatever.
Yeah, Rick Nietling.
They're swimming guys. They got a beautiful polo course there. But anyway,
magic.
He showed me about proper aerating on red wine, not letting it sit in some carafe and calling
that
aerating.
What are you meant to do, Joe?
Well, I bought these things in America, and you put it on top of the bottle, and as you pour it, you hear this, it infuses oxygen into the wine. And I've done taste tests with people straight out of the bottle and aerated, and you've got two different wines there. So I love watching people, and I just bought myself a case of Sarensburgs.
That's very good.
I mean, they got 7 gold medals on there, you know, and I'm not, you know, somebody that plays that game, but if the wine industry is giving you 7 gold, I'm going to go with it.
I think they know this.
They've
got to pay to enter to get those seals as well.
Oh, well, you know, quality costs money.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up tomorrow and hear, realize you could have had quality yesterday because you're going today. You know, cancel Christmas. So I do straight out of the bottle and then aerate it. And everybody will go, holy. So I love watching people in restaurants. They pour it out of the bottle straight in the glass. Guy goes like this, smells it. No idea what he's drinking.
So is it a machine that you attach and then it puts
the oxygen in? No, it's just this little plastic thing that goes on top and it infuses oxygen into the wine. It absolutely changes the wine.
You know, Joe, you've changed. You've become such a wine snob.
I'm a whiner.
Yeah,
you're a whiner. Leave me alone. Get off my grass.
When you talk about like practical gifts that people can use, what sort of things do you mean?
Like
a wine infuser.
No, I bought Grandma a clothes dryer.
What a lovely present.
Yeah, if you need a clothes dryer.
A bottle of Chanel Allure.
Oh, that's very good.
That's a beautiful, ladies. Go out and get it. I mean, I remember my old girlfriend, Jenny, the model, back in the day when Ishi Miyake came out and took the world by storm. Chanel Allure's doing it right now.
Oh.
It's absolutely one of the most beautiful fragrances.
I like this. So far, we've got good advice on red wine.
Yes,
good advice
fragrance.
On perfume, which is excellent. And some gift ideas at the same time. Wine infuser, right?
Yeah.
That's what you got to buy the family.
In Ireland, they even have that thing for the Guinness. It's like a nitro pourer or something. So the cans you get,
yeah,
you get the nitro cans, and then you put this thing on top, and it pours it like a draft.
Wow. Oh.
It kind of, I don't know what it does, but it's like a, it's like an attachment you can buy for, it's for Guinness specifically.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you, you, it pours like a draft with this.
Do you know what that gas is they use?
No.
Farts.
Nitrous oxide. So nitrous is the short.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nitrous oxide is laughing gas. It's the stuff the dentists use when they put you under.
Okay, but so only if you inhale that, then.
Yeah. But
if you drink,
mean, it's not enough to make you woozy. Don't worry, Leanne.
I'm going to go buy
10 of those.
Not like Whippets from back in the day. Anybody ever heard of Whippets?
Yeah, you remember those?
Yes, I do.
Cream, right?
Well, these were just the little pods there you put in a balloon.
And that was nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Didn't know about that.
Also, yeah. I'm seeing the real Italian.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are commenting on how you look like you just stepped off the plane from Hawaii, but you pretty much did.
I've been here. Well, I stayed a week in my friend in Ellen in Wolverhampton, England.
Okay.
I had to get the fish and chips. I could not believe the size of the chips. It was this big, the size of the chips. You could eat it for 3 days. I couldn't believe it.
No, it's because over there, they call these chip shops chippers.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, where'd you get the chip? And they're talking about like a box of chips. Like there's so many different fish and chip or like chip
They take
chops.
Their chips so very seriously. Well, you must remember that the only contribution the English have ever made to cuisine is the humble potato chips.
Meat and
I don't know. I remember
potatoes.
They tried to take over the world a couple times, wasn't it? Back in the day.
Yeah, but in terms of food, that's all they got.
Yeah, okay.
You know, bangers and mash and that kind of thing.
That's
very plain.
I love that type of food.
Do you?
Mm.
It's good old
bangers and mash.
So what did you miss while you were away? Because I asked Ryan this question.
Can I ask how long were you in?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And I moved. I lived about a year with my very good friend up in Conover, Wisconsin, way in the north woods of Wisconsin, and Diabetesville, I call it. Because, you know, with the high fructose corn syrup and everything, you'd be surprised. Not only are they overweight, but they sell this little round thing that goes on your arm, and it sends notes to your phone. Your blood sugar's low, so people are like, what? You keep hearing these things go off, and they're commanded by, oh, I got to eat, I got to inject. That's the way they live.
Yeah.
Everybody had them up there. I couldn't believe
it. That is terrible. I mean,
it's absolutely terrible. When you watch the adverts on TV, you'll watch 5 minutes of adverts, and there'll be at least three drugs on there. Ask your doctor about Ozempic. You know, may cause anal leakage, may cause heart palpitations, may cause, you know. And they got to say that. They got to say it. And then at the end, there's a girl going, I have it. Yes, I got, you know. And ask your doctor. No, you don't ask your doctor if you should take drugs from an advert. But they're all, I mean, my sister.
There are only two countries in the world that can sell drugs. Only two, as far as I know. New Zealand and the United States that can sell drugs directly to the consumer by commercials. We're not allowed to advertise pharmaceutical products in most other countries in the world.
But we do advertise things like cough syrup. I think it's a certain...
Scheduled.
Yeah, scheduled, yeah.
Like, that's why they also, you know this, Joe, in every American ad for whatever drug it is, the terms and conditions are...
Contraindications.
They're three quarters of the
ad.
So, and it's this very
you
fast
can't just say T's and C's apply.
May cause you to die and may cause your hair to fall out.
Your heart will only stop shortly, don't worry. It restarts.
Right. So the diabetes is so bad there that people wear these little patches.
Yeah,
sure.
And their phones go off the whole time. And And this is a chronic lifestyle condition that's brought about by a bad diet, primarily.
That's why I like Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
He's going to go after all of them.
I like him, too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
And the American food industry is actually appalling. I mean, didn't they just the other day, there was this big story about how the Fruit Loops.
Yeah, Canada and
in
America.
In the U.S. and the Fruit Loops in Canada are totally different. And, of course, some people said, oh, no, they're not that different, except that the American one contains these dyes and these colorants and these additives. And it turns out that the Canadian one's way healthier.
Yeah, okay, they use fruit juice for the dyes.
Right.
Mm. Oh, well. Yeah. So, but there's so much misinformation out there. Now there's this whole thing with MSG, right?
Yeah, monosodium glutamate.
Which we all grew up knowing is bad for you.
Mm.
Not even growing up. We grew up consuming the shit out of it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
yeah.
then later on, we heard, no, it's bad for you.
We basically had orange stains around our mouths.
In the meantime, it's actually not harmful at all. It's,
really?
No, it's a great additive to use in very specific types of cooking. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just because it came from the Far East.
Well, Joe will know this. How many years ago did they tell us that you know, fat was bad?
Yeah. Hmm.
And then but the one thing they never told us was bad was sugar. And they put sugar in everything.
Yeah, yeah, they told us not to eat absolutely. Too many eggs.
And, you know, when I see them shopping, like when you see the morbidly obese people on the three-wheeler in the store. And they got a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of diet. It's all diet. And they prove diet stuff doesn't work anyway.
There's the Fruit Loops. There's the difference right there.
They just a couple days ago, they said they were doing away with red dye number 5, which is supposed to come from like a bug or something.
Red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue. Blue one, BHT for freshness. Those are the things that they add into the American ones that they don't put in the Canadian ones.
Mm. A lot of countries won't even sell Mountain Dew. That's another one.
Mountain Dew is it's a soft drink, right?
Yes.
Mm. We used to have it here.
Yeah.
We
still have it here.
I think that Americans are probably some of the least healthy people in the world. If RFK can get that right, just kids. If he just helps the kids, because for some of them it's too late.
Yeah, all the processed meat and everything.
Oh, man.
I did a little with my son when he went to school. I used to make him these big sub sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, I was a peanut butter and jelly guy, 3 peanut butter and jellies. That's what I used to have a couple times a week growing up, you know, in school with the warm milk in the cupboard because we couldn't afford the milk thing in school. We were 6 kids, you know.
Yeah.
And but I used to make – I eat for a living. I can cook Hungarian, German, and Italian. And I used to make them these big-ass sandwiches every day. But it was with the processed meats. And then his mom said, you got to cut back on them processed meats, which we did, you know.
Yeah.
But, and he's healthy as an ox.
Yeah, I think you the fresher the stuff is, the better.
Well, agreed.
It's going to be taken badly. I mean, you've seen how Jamie Oliver's school lunch plan worked out. The English hate him.
Yeah, well, you see, there are people who just want to eat terrible stuff. And ultimately, I think that this comes down to your own sense of personal responsibility. You can eat all that shit if you want to, but then it's going to come with diabetes.
My sister made a pasta sauce when being Italian, and she used this mince that was like little spirals.
Yeah.
And she fried the mince and put it in. It maintained that shape. And I'm eating it going, I don't exactly know what this is, but don't ever buy it again.
You didn't need it.
You know, you hear about that computer made meat. I'm not saying it was, but it didn't lose its shape.
You didn't need noodles because they were already like noodles.
I'm going, I begrudgingly ate it because she can't cook as well, not as good as me. But but it was weird because you could taste the spirals while you're eating and going, something wrong here. Something wrong. And you know, when your body does.
Like a McDonald's burger that just doesn't ever die.
Yeah. 10 years later, it still looks
good. Can I ask, like, in Hawaii, what's like the food culture like there? Do people eat out? Is it like, do you have to? Because I know in Ireland, you have to cook food because it's just so much cheaper.
Well, same with Hawaii, but it's quite cosmopolitan because you got Filipinos, Chinese, Japanese, you got your Tongans, so they all have their little shops and everything, but it's quite expensive. You go to the Pick and Pay, if you will, 2 bags, $125.
Deal.
That's 2,500 grand for those mathematically challenged.
Wow. Oh,
we can get about 3 bags for that here now.
Yeah, that's what surprised me. I'm looking at these prices
here. Are going,
holy
insane.
Cow, the people. That's why I sent a little note to your show going, I need to get on there because I'm looking at what's going on here. And I'm going, these prices are absolutely outrageous. Last time I was on your show, the olive oil jumped from like 98 Rand to 198 Rand.
Now
it's 259 Rand for extra virgin olive oil, which is the best oil, by the way. Mm. The only oil you should forget.
Well, apparently that's also a thing. People have been saying that the scam with olive oil is that most of it isn't olive oil.
Yeah. Even in America, they have single destination. So all your olive oil, and they put a little, you mentioned that, what's that little
seal?
Square thing for the computer. Take a
photo. QR code.
The QR code, yeah.
You can
yeah.
take a picture of it, and it tells you where they come from. But a lot of it, there's from San Paolo, all in this one bottle. And I've seen where they say, no, it's not necessarily really extra virgin olive oil.
They're telling us now, again, the canola oils and all those kinds of things they put into this are very bad for you.
Yep.
These are not things you should be having.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that we've got enough people around now who are doing their own research. And I don't mean like amateurs doing this at home, but I mean like scientists who are taking on establishment doctrine and saying, actually, we're going to look into this stuff. And as a result of the internet, you can't hide these things anymore. You know, it was possible before for big corporations to just tell people, no, sugar's great for you. Do you remember those ads?
Successful doctors smoking camels.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. And they told us all that stuff. You can't do that anymore as easily.
They say that that's what it's going to be like with alcohol eventually.
We'll
look back and go, how did we even drink? How did we put that in our bodies?
I think something's going to kill you eventually. And no, exactly. I frankly would rather have the stuff that gives me some fun along the way. You know, I don't want to live forever. But I would like to be healthy as long as possible.
Mm. Take a look at our parents. How old are our parents?
Yep.
They did all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be my grandfather, both my grandfathers used to have a whiskey when they got home from work every day. They used to drink like that every day. And it wasn't considered a problem then. You do that now, people are going to go, you should go and talk to somebody about this. You've got a problem. Churchill was drinking at 9 in the morning the whole way through the war.
I also just want to comment, since I've been back, like I went to shop the other day to get like a Buddy Coke, and it's like 18 Rand.
Yeah.
So the prices have gone crazy.
They've really gone mad, yeah.
And I don't know how people are going, you know, that's what I'm talking about right now. You know, we should get on this money thing because I keep seeing everybody. I stand by the tills and I see everybody pull out a card. Everybody's pulling out a card. And it's like what I said once before is every time you use that credit card, you're digging a deeper hole with a bigger shovel. You don't feel it. I mean, we're tapping our way into being poor. Now, if you contemplate when you use your credit card and you go deeper in debt, if they came out with a 3-page loan application, every time you got deeper onto your credit card, you'd feel that.
Yeah.
But here now you're just tapping and you're getting all this cool stuff and you're spoiling your spoiled children. And you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And now you're going on vacation and you're going to get the Christmas menus with the new prices. And you're going to pay triple the accommodation. I'm going down to Cape Town. I'm going to visit Jim Miller, my old boss.
Yeah.
And Ollie, he's a model. My friend, his son's a model.
You know a lot of models.
I like pretty people. I got to admit.
Who doesn't?
You're
going to be around ugly people if you could possibly help it.
And he's going to be down in Cape Town, so I'm going to be there the end of January, February, when the prices are normal again.
Mm.
You know, I could go down now, but I don't want to do that. You know, I like people and all that, but it's hard for me to especially pay for food that I could make better. And, you know, all this money. Yeah. That's a problem for me.
The thing I didn't pick up on, and probably Leanne didn't either, I don't know. But when you're in an environment and you do things on a weekly basis, like going to shop for groceries or whatever, it's almost like that frog in the pot thing where, you know, if you warm it slowly, the frog doesn't jump out immediately. You throw a frog into a boiling pot of water, it's going to jump out straight away. But it doesn't realize it's cooking when it's in the slow burn. And I think that maybe happens because the two of you have come back. You've seen this huge increase in prices, which I wonder if most South Africans have even been aware of.
Oh, they
are. It's insane.
No, they are.
Yeah, no, I think they are because I'm seeing smaller bags. People go to the shops. There's always that guy who fills the cart or the woman who fills the cart and everything. But from what I see, and even at the Pick and Pay in Sandton, there, they have a smaller cart now as well.
Oh, really?
So it's a visual thing, you know what I mean? It looks like you fill it up, you're like, look what I get. Yeah, well, you're going to pay that price, but it's not what that bigger cart was going to hold.
Wow.
I mean, you've seen the competitiveness between
the
stores.
Shops,
it's people know, people can feel it. They can't buy as much as before. And I thought it was a worldwide problem because I see people Canada's battling.
Yeah.
South Africans have lived in Canada for decades are coming back.
Trump said a little joke about, he took a shot at Trudeau, who I'm not a fan of.
No, and he
said about the 25% tariffs, and Trump told him, well, why don't you just become the 51st state and I'll make you the governor. I thought that was good. That's a Trump boy. That's another shot. He's still doing it. New Yorker.
Make Canada great again. That's what I say.
You know, so, they're overspending now on Christmas, and they don't realize what's coming, and this is the key. A lot of people are only going to recover in April, and you have to remember January.
Yeah.
You got school fees coming up.
Yep.
You know? And I see so many people just absolutely splurging, and again, buying stupid gifts and having fun, 1 month fun, 4 month misery. And you got to ask yourself, is it really worth it? And just a little bit of tweaking here and there, is the way to do it. And what the problem in South Africa, and the new problem, is this two-pot retirement system.
Oh, very dangerous, right?
I blew 40 before I came to South Africa about a year before. They allowed me to touch my 401k for two reasons: new home purchase or continuing education. So I grabbed the continuing education, and I blew $40,000 in a year on I'm going to Africa and I'm never coming back parties. And that $40,000 turned into, let's see, in 20 years, $269,000. In 30 years, $700,000.
That you would have had.
That I would have had.
If you hadn't taken it
up. That's right. So if 95% of working people don't have enough money at retirement now, and they're letting them tap their retirement, what's that say for them when they get, in the aged community,
poor, or as we call them, poor, very old people,
instead of senior citizens, seasoned citizens? They're using tomorrow's money today.
Yeah.
And there's a certain, keeping up with the Joneses, Motsepe's, the Naidus, that whole, issue of, ooh, look what he drives at, the new Jaguar and all that. I mean, I bought a new car, cash, thank you. They don't sell the Accords in this country. I'm a Honda guy, so I bought the Balad RS. From Mitmac Motors. There you go. See ya. Talk to see ya when you get there. Great price. Negotiated as I do. I saved $30,000 on the car, which was a tremendous thing.
They couldn't wait to get rid of you.
I'm always sure
they saw Joe coming in.
Give him the car.
I need your manager. Okay, who's the principal? I need him. He's the guy with the power.
Negotiate it down. Joe's like, there's a tiny little scratch there on that headlight. I'm not paying extra for that.
Well, I bought a used car. I didn't buy brand new.
That's a good thing.
One-year-old car, because I let the initial guy take all the hit, and that's the secret of it,
Yeah.
But again, there were document fees and all these fees I'm not paying on there, you know. And I negotiated those off. Which was a surprise to me, because I was looking at the new Accords in Hawaii, and they're still charging over MSRP. So the car was $23,000. They add $6,000 price on top of it, just because supposedly the supply. And that's the other thing that's happening here now. They have a 96-month car loan in South Africa. Did you know that?
I didn't.
How many years is that?
8.
Jesus.
So your warranty long gone.
Wow.
And see, what people,
interest must be insane.
Exactly. But the people don't understand that when you do this, you have 8 years worth of life altering decisions that are coming down the road. In 8 years, is your son or daughter going to be in university?
Yeah.
You have that coming down the road. They look at it as, I got this now, and I'm going to get you might get a 3% increase in your wages.
What if you lose your job?
What
if you end up in hospital?
Agreed. There's so many nuances which could occur on your finances, and do, because shit happens.
Of course it
does. There's always something that happens. But they don't see it as that. They say, and they've been coerced with blinkers, I can afford this payment. And it's absolutely outrageous. I mean, I just was shopping for medical aid, which I got to buy again now. And I looked at that price, skyrocketed. And you know what really upsets me about insurance companies? And I've been anti-insurance the entire time I've been in South Africa, because they rip you off here.
Oh yeah.
In America, you pay $50 a month, you get $250,000. You pay $50 a month for the rest of your life. Here, the premium goes up every year.
And you have to fight with them. That's one thing you taught me.
You should, yep.
You should actually go back every year in January, look at it and go, I'm not paying this. Take that off.
Yep. And then you try to use COVID to say, oh, well, we had to pay out. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You had to pay it out. That's part of the insurance industry. They make so much money. But, you know, let's look at life insurance. You get a million rand cover. What they do is the cover stays the same. So technically, your money halves in its buying power every 7 years. So a million rand in 7 years is 500,000. In 14 years is 250. And in 21 years is 125,000 rand in purchasing power. That's what it's going to be worth. Meanwhile, your 500 rand premium, you're now paying 3,800 rand a month.
Yep.
Your premium goes up and the cover doesn't. Now, there is a company out there that offers a static premium. And send me an email at employeedynamictraining.com at gmail.com, and I'll tell you what company. I don't want to give them, you know, free advertising, but you need to go through all your insurances, your contents. This is the big ripoff. Your insurance on your house. Dump your house upside down, whatever falls is contents. They keep raising the premium, but your stuff's getting older.
Mm.
And
yeah.
You know, when I bought my 66-inch TV for $30,000 back in the day, 2 years later, it was 18,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go, oh, but the technology. No, no. So they keep raising all your premiums and all your insurances, and they shouldn't do it. So everybody needs to go in and get three different quotes, and the key is don't tell them what you're currently paying.
Yeah.
That's how you get the lower quote. And switch. This is it's a you know, an industry that has a lot of competition out there, and you need to do what's best for you, because if you think about it, you get a 3.5-4% raise, and I don't know what the raises were in South Africa, but you have to pay tax and all that, but your net money, now your premiums are going up at 10%.
Yeah.
So you got, what's the inflation rate currently in South Africa?
Seven.
Something,
so you got
now.
Minus 10 going to the policies, and you're minus 7 on everything you're purchasing. You're minus 17%. You're getting a 3.5% raise.
Yeah.
You need to be proactive and fix all that. And people don't. They just sit there. You know, it's like with my car insurance. I got Ryan. There you go, Ryan. There's your plug. I won't tell you the company. Send me an email. But my car insurance, they had from 3,300 rand a month with a 8,000 rand excess.
Yeah.
I currently pay 1,267 rand a month. Well, it's 1,267 rand a month with zero excess with the company that I got. So by shopping around, that's per month.
Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah.
So by shopping around and doing your due diligence and your homework, you save yourself a lot of money. You just can't keep accepting it.
But you see, Joe, they also talk about, this is the thing I hate about insurance, is the no-claim bonus.
Yeah.
Because you want to stay with a company, and you want to get this no-claim bonus, and the longer you stay, the bigger the bonus becomes, and the more you won't claim.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's so stupid. And then you won't leave and shop around because you want that no-claim bonus, which is the... It's pointless what insurance is.
Totally pointless, because they hold your... First off, you overpay for the insurance to get the no-claim.
Damn, and I was going to try and sell this segment to an insurance company. Now they're all running for hills.
But then they give you money back, which accrued no interest.
Yeah.
So 5,000 rand today and 5,000 rand in 4 years is a different 5,000 rand again. You know what I mean? So you lost money. So although it's a no claim, but people do fall for that no claim bonus.
Yeah.
And now you switch. Get the lowest insurance out
well,
there.
Well, somebody says here, they absolutely agree with you. Tamarin, she says, shop around. It's so much better in the long term. And you don't have to feel loyal to an insurance company. You don't have to feel loyal to a financial institution.
It's funny, we do that as well as South Africans.
No. I remember when I got here in 96 and 97, some lady told me, I have been with Nedbank for 28 years. I go, by the time I'm done with this phone call, you're not going to be with them anymore. And I always have this saying about banks, don't take financial advice from people behind bulletproof glass.
That's more people make less money than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's I've trained them. I know how much they make. That's why when they used to put the... checks in the plastic, because they were taking the last check and writing it, see?
Right.
So, yeah, and I just went into, I won't mention the name of the bank, but they do have green initiatives, and I'm amazed at what happened. I went in there, and I told, I need to do this. Oh, we can't do that. I went in to open up my business account again, and the guy goes, you can do that online. You're going to need an appointment. I go, but there's nobody in your office here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can do it online. But there's nobody in your office. Why don't you? Yeah, but you have to get an appointment.
It doesn't make sense.
And here's the best thing they did to me. I couldn't believe it. Boy, did I get upset. I've been paying my, you know, I keep my bank accounts and credit cards here in this country in case I did come back, you know. And they switched my account to a pay-as-you-use account without my knowledge. So when I withdrew $5,000 from the ATM, they charged me 11% to do that from their ATM. So $55 and I go, whoa, what happened? Well, you were, who changed me? Well, I don't, you know, he couldn't. I go,
something about your account being dormant.
However, it did work out for me because I don't use the account that much. And so maybe their algorithms did it or whatever, but you still need to notify them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it should. There are a lot of people who allow automatic things to happen in terms of the decisions that are made about their money. Right,
And you end up blaming yourself. It's like, oh, well, I didn't read the small print.
So many people don't even know what the debit orders are that are coming off their account.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all T's and C's. Well, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? Yeah, read that. It's written by big corporate lawyers and not for your benefit. Although I don't read it either, to tell you the truth.
No.
So, but I also, you know, by shopping around, getting things done.
Joe, what do you think? I mean, especially since, and you've only been back for a short while, but since you've been back, what do you think the biggest areas are? You mentioned insurance. Where else do people get screwed? And where are they not paying attention that they should be paying attention?
Well, I would say when you're reading the newspaper, look at who's writing the articles. Because I keep seeing all these articles for, like, home purchases. Okay? You know, to transfer costs in this country are absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous. And I remember when I bought my first property, probably in about 2000, I told them, I want a fixed-rate interest loan. And they go, we don't offer that. You, what? You don't offer that. And that's what makes me angry about South Africa. To this day, you borrow $1 million for a very small property is what you'll get for that. Today, they keep changing that interest rate on you. That's wrong.
After you've taken the...
Oh, yeah, when interest rates go up, your home bond rate goes up. Car rate goes up. They keep changing those things, and they keep doing that. I wish maybe even an American company would come here, because what they do in America is when they lower the interest rate, everybody refinances lower because you don't have those big transfer costs.
Right.
So if you're paying 4% and it goes down to 2.5%, they refi at 2.5%. And now they're locked in at 2.5%.
Right.
But here they just rip you off with all these increases on, you know, and somebody should come out with a fixed one, but they just keep doing it.
Well, I have one. I can think of one. It used to be a thing that people would be a bit of this keeping up with the Joneses stuff you talk about. People would be hugely impressed if you had holiday homes, right?
Mm.
You had a house at the sea, or you had a...
That
house
you owned.
At the dam, or you had a house at the in the mountains, or whatever, that you owned.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid waste of money, especially in the era of Airbnb.
So where they're sitting dormant or vacant for most of the year.
For a lot of people, they don't want other people to use them. They have municipal rates and taxes. They have water and electricity, even if you switch everything off when you leave there. And these things add up, and it ends up costing you an absolute fortune. And I know people who have like 2 or 3 of these houses, and it's just a dead loss. It's a bottomless pit of money. And even if you sell it, you just never get your value back.
I bought one after the 2008 crash.
Yeah.
It was about the end of 2009, and I called a guy in Marina Beach. That's my favorite. I'm South Coast. I like warm water. Sorry, Cape Town.
Yep.
You can keep that water. I know quite a cosmopolitan city, and I love the nightlife. Cold water? Nah. So I called this guy, Plot. About 750 meters from the beach, $485,000. So, your asking price is always your asking. You can negotiate. So I go, I'll give you $400. No. I go, next year I'll give you $350. So next year came up. He put it on for about like $420. I go, I'll give you $350. He goes, no. I go, next year I give you $300. And then about 8 weeks later, his lawyer called me and goes,
you just have to be patient.
He's going bankrupt. You want it for $110?
Oh, give me your bank my details. Word.
So about 485,000 rand property for 110. But yeah, a lot of people, those second houses, they sold them like crazy after that 2008. And I remember 2005, 6, and 7 leading up to it. I used to tell people, don't buy houses, don't buy. And that's what we just alluded to a minute ago.
Yeah.
When you start reading these articles, there's always, look who wrote it. It's a property company that wrote it saying, now's a good time. I got news for you. My buddy Paulie, who owns what's that, Michelangelo, and yeah. he owned Veldivie, you know, he sold all that. People are fleeing Johannesburg, and the prior, look at all the for sale. Yeah. yeah, they're fleeing Johannesburg, and you keep telling, now's a good time to buy property. No, it's not, and with a 30-year mortgage bond now. So they have 30-year bonds now in South Africa, and they said they're only going to sell them to new buyers under 45 years old. And if you contemplate that, you know, at 45, 30 years puts you at 75
yeah.
to pay it off, you know? And that's something everybody should do. Renegotiate all your insurance premiums. Take that money you just saved and just plop it straight in the bond. You will get the best interest rate you will ever get. Most people defeat the purpose of their own finances by they're trying to save some money in a bank or in some investment, and a bank never beats inflation, so guaranteed loss. Last 30 years, guaranteed loss saving in a bank. You got to keep a minimum of 22,000 rand in the bank to make enough interest just to pay your fees.
That's
unbelievable. So you really aren't making anything, you know. But you're saving at 5%. You're paying credit cards at 23 to 27%. You're paying a car loan at 14%. You're going backwards, is what it is. So it's a fictitious savings, and people even try. You know, I mean, my unit trust last year did 13.87. Cool. I don't have any debt. Yeah. Well, then I beat inflation. But if I had 21-26% credit card debt and I'm getting 13, I'm going nowhere. I'm going backwards. And so people need to understand that. You think you're saving money, but you're actually losing money. So get out of debt first. And as I always say,
how do you respond to people like Yonder in the comments? Yonder says, we're all going to die. Why keep the money for someone else?
I agree. I told my parents when they moved to Las Vegas when they retired with two homes under their belt. They lost both homes. And I said, spend the money. I bought a bumper sticker. We're spending our children's inheritance. Don't leave them anything. Yeah. Don't leave your kids anything. That's what people do in this country. They got these life insurance policies. And as I said, you start out at 500. And then in 30 years, you're paying 3,900 a month. Well, I've had it for so long. And I want to leave the kids. You want to leave your kid? Give them a good education and send them out. That's what I did to my son. He's doing a second master's degree now. He's the head of crypto. For Purple, son. You met him at the Hokai place that one day.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I'm anti-crypto. I'm a gold and silver guy.
Are you? So you have a bit of gold and silver? Like a
gold
pirate?
And silver, yes, indeed.
Silver and
I brought some in the luggage, and it looked like little pieces of dynamite. I got flagged at O'Hare. What's this?
But is silver, how's that done?
You know, J.P. Morgan was fined like almost $1 billion for gold manipulation. They manipulate it. There's like 61 pieces of paper that say they own that 1 ounce of silver.
Right.
With ETFs, warrants, and that type of stuff.
Right.
But silver is 62% commercial usage. Example, right. There's 500 ounces of silver in one Tomahawk cruise missile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they use it for photovoltaic. The Indians... they have bought huge amounts of silver because they're in the photovoltaics, stuff on your roof, you know. They're competing with China on solar stuff. So, and now Samsung has come out with a new car battery that you can charge your car in 19 minutes.
Huh.
And a huge amounts of silver in there. So silver is not only a wealth creator, but it's 62% of it is used in commercial. And they say that they're drawing more out of the silver market than they can mine. And silver's a byproduct, so they don't mine silver. So they say silver could do 300. When you look at what gold has done, I think it's up 24% since the beginning of 2024.
Yeah, gold's been a very
but they
good
say
investment.
Silver's gonna 10 times. Mm. So I have much more silver than gold. And I'm hoping that happens because that'd be nice. I like it. And it's beautiful. I buy silver maple leaves from Canada.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I heard that in the American Eagles, there's a tracking device.
Oh, okay. So this is a conspiracy.
Because remember, what's his
theory?
Name? He confiscated all the gold back in the day in America, you know?
Right.
And so, and when you look at American Eagle and the gold or the silver maple leaf, it's cheaper for the silver maple leaf. You're just buying the ounce of silver.
Yeah,
that's all you're buying. So why pay more? you know, for the eagle. But that's what they do. So that's what I say. Get out of debt first. Take the credit cards out of your wallet. Hey, you know, you want to get rich. Here's a good one. You could play the lottery. Oh, wait, but I think I remember reading something here that Minister Parks Tau revealed the National Lotteries Commission spent over 73 million rand on litigation and disciplinary inquiries involving past and current staff.
Oh,
almost
wow.
13 million rand was spent on litigation involving whistleblowers. And then there was that one, I think it was a woman who stole all that money and bought houses from the lottery.
Right.
What could go wrong? <You know?
laughs> We were talking about this earlier, though, and I wanted to have your comment on this. Easy come, easy go, right? There are a lot of people who think that if you if someone pays an amount erroneously into your account, that you should go and spend that. It's just your lucky day. But they're going to get that back from you.
They did. They did it to me when I sold the old, and Jim Miller, you'll remember this, the old 1985 Audi 500. They triplicated the price and put it in my account.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, I always told Jim when I went and worked for him, because Financial Fitness was when I used to work for them, I said, you know, I'll never steal, I'll never lie, I'll never do anything that'll cost this business anything. And so I went into him and I go, look, they triplicated the amount that I sold my car for. He goes, Joe? I go, no, I'm not going to keep it. I just want to see how long before they find it. And it was about 2.5 weeks, and I was like, gone. So they finally found it, though. Huh?
And the other thing you got to remember is that the revenue service, SARS in this country, they can go straight into your account. They don't need permission. If they think you owe more than you paid, they can take it from you.
I
think that's criminal. But of course, they have a monopoly on
violence. The criminal is their advertising. Buy these big billboards for SARS.
Don't forget to file.
Yeah. Come on. You're using our money for that. Yeah. You know? South Africa has some financial issues, if I recall.
Oh, just a few. Just a few. And some not-so honest people who are running those finances some of the time.
Agreed. That's why I hope with the coalition government.
Well,
I followed it. Yeah, but, you know, it's power. That power will... I mean, I watched it in America, and you were talking earlier about, you know, the people like, well, we had George Bush, H.W., and then Jr., and then there was Bill Clinton, and then Hillary. Forget this family. You had Trudeau, the old man, now Justin. Forget this family stuff. You had now Bashar Assad and Hafez Assad. You know, just because you're in the family doesn't make you president. They need to stop that. But these people will not give up power. They stay in there, and Facebook almost kicked me off over it. I told you, they got to die for them to lose power. They will not give it up.
No, they won't.
I see that. Who's the one guy I keep seeing? He keeps moving from minister to minister, Fikile Mbalula. Minister to minister. The minister, he's his minister here. He's minister.
Now he's Secretary General.
Yeah.
Do people live very well in Ireland? I mean, are they living... like South Africans do?
So there's parts that do. The guys who are rich are like super rich. And then obviously the middle class, I wouldn't say is, I don't know. It's not that, it's not like the middle class in South Africa.
And they're not as showy, right?
Not really. No. I mean, the rich guys kind of have like Ferraris chilling on their property with no gates.
Yeah.
And anything like that. But I actually saw a comment that popped up earlier. I wanted to ask you about that because I think it was Matt who made a comment and said, what about forever renting? Because it's nearly impossible. And I know because he's saying it's nearly impossible to put a deposit down on a house. And I know from being there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to buy like a shit house, is 250,000 euro.
Yeah.
And when I say a shit house, I mean a house that's super old and needs fixing up. And it's a house I would definitely wouldn't stay in. And that's 250, that's a quarter of a million euro. It's insane.
Uh-huh.
I blame the real estate agents for that. And they got their comeuppance after the 2008 crash because a lot of them went out of business. I'll give you a great example. Remember that property I owned on 11th Street in Parkmore?
Yeah.
I paid $450,000 for it in 2000. In 2018, I sold it for 3.45 million.
So that was good.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. And see, that's what they do. They go, okay, here, this house, okay, it's 1.2 million for you. Okay, now you want to buy a house? His is 1.4 million. We'll get you 1.4 million. Okay, your house, we'll get you 1.6 million. You're right next door to one another. Yeah. So that's them, you know, because everybody wants to get the most because real estate is a great investment. No, it's not. When you look at what you really pay over 20 years and now 30 years, pay it off in 7 years. That's what we've been preaching. Get rid of all your debt, pump everything into your home bond, and you'll get 150 to 200% return on your home bond. And you can always borrow against it in case of an emergency. So again, just think about this. On a 5-year home bond, the first five, or sorry, on a 20-year home bond, the first 5 years is almost all interest. So I don't even know what a home bond interest rate or a monthly payment is right now, but let's call it $15,000 a month. So you're paying $15,000 a month in interest. What are you making on your savings? You're making $15,000 a month?
Not a chance.
No. Put it into the bond. Pay off the bond. Because if you were all out there right now, unless you're driving, close your eyes and imagine being debt-free.
Yeah.
So are you saying we should look at buying housing over in Europe? Or are you?
No,
are
you, you won't be able to afford it. You know, I took $1 million out of this country, and it turned into $50,000, which went like
You're
that.
You're joking.
No. That's the exchange
rate. That's just the exchange rate? So did they add all kinds of penalties as well?
Well, no, there's commissions and stuff like that.
You can
like
take $1 million out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you own a piece of Bitcoin now, it's $100,000. So it makes any South African a millionaire.
You know, even though my son is like the head of crypto, I can't put money in a computer. You know, that Sam Bankman Fried guy, you got the tool girl. Mm. Cool. You know, anybody who bought that deserve, like you said earlier, they deserve that.
Absolutely.
You know? Dogecoin. I mean, I went into the Donald Trump one. DJT. Yeah. And it shot up, you know, and I go, okay, it's going up. Boom, right back down. I said, okay, I doubled my money. I got out, you know, but I was going, it's going up. But I will not. Silver and gold. And I want to give a warning to the young people out there. You know, a lot of brokers out there want to sell you retirement annuities. Yeah. If you have something with your work, and chances are, you know, you put in 10%, they match you 10%. That's 100% return on your money right there. But remember, tying your money up in additional retirement funds, you're going to have to buy a house one day. You're going to have kids. You're going to have, now you can touch some of it. But don't tie your money up long term because, again, if you're paying 15,000 Rand a month on a home bond and it's all interest, what's your retirement program making for you? Did you make 15,000 a month? So you go backwards. That's why these people always say, I have this feeling I'm not getting ahead in life. Well, you need to start listening to yourself because you're not.
Well, you said something just now, and I think we must kind of end on this one because it's such a good point, is Mo Rabbit says, I've been debt-free for 15 years. No accounts apart from the internet. Cell phone on pay-as-you-go. If I need something, I buy it cash, and if I can't, I don't. Servicing debt is a financial and lifestyle killer. You won't disagree with
totally it. Totally agree with it. I mean, as you heard, I flew business class from O'Hare to Heathrow. I didn't even pay for the ticket. I got this credit card with British Airways. I use it for everything and always have. So I fly internationally free, and I enjoy it. But I pay the credit card off every month.
So you're not completely against having credit cards as long as you are putting the money back.
As a payment facility, but you don't let the interest start to
bingo. Build. And you know something, go. Important point. Some people use a debit card. And just remember this. If you use a debit card and there's any kind of fraud, mm-hmm. The bank has to open up an investigation and they'll freeze those funds. And your money is tied up with a credit card. It's immediately forgiven and you move on. So I try to tell people, don't use a debit card like you use a credit card. Use a credit card and then just move the money electronically every month, you know. And then in Hawaii, they're still writing checks. They still have banks where people go in.
Wow.
That's so funny.
So strange.
In order for me to transfer money, I had to have a special authorization from the bank manager to make a transfer to another bank. I'm going, what? It's so third world. When you go to the pub, I used to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and you give them your credit card, they run away with it. Yeah. First problem. Mm. Then they come back with two slips. That now you've write the tip on that slip, and you get your card, your slip, but then they go off with that slip again, and it sits on there, and all of a sudden it changes on your credit card statement. Third world. They don't have the little tap thing that comes to your desk.
Yeah.
We don't think about that, but actually we're kind of more evolved. I still think it's so funny that Americans still pay each other with a check.
Yep. Yep.
But you don't have the right to go into your banking app and make a transfer from an account to an account or to quickly pay someone.
In America.
In America.
No, I have special authorization because I got a couple bank accounts. Because what's happening with America, it's turning into the Zimbabwean dollar. People don't realize all the countries selling treasuries and the American dollars under a lot of stress and bricks. Uh-huh. As you know, now they won't do the gold-backed currency, but they are trying to eliminate the dollar. And you can't just keep printing money. Mm-hmm. Garrett, what's the largest Zimbabwean dollar ever printed? Do you remember?
Didn't we get up to...
Isn't it a trillion?
Higher.
Really?
How much was the biggest one?
100 trillion.
Oh, 100 trillion.
I've got a couple of trillion. Yeah, my mom's from Zim, so I know.
I keep them next to my toilet in case I run out of paper. Be careful, paper cuts hurt.
Can I scare you quickly?
Go on.
Because of the housing shortage in Ireland, the rent is astronomical.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, I'll be completely open. I share a house with a roommate of mine, like a mate of mine from South Africa. We pay 2,300 euro a month, which is almost 50,000 rand a month. And I'm an hour out of town.
Right.
And it's like a 3-bedroom house.
Yep.
Fully furnished and all that. But just to give you an idea of how much things cost, like my sister's moved into a place here that's probably like 13,000 to 14,000 a month.
Jesus.
And the house is almost 50,000 rand a month. When you bring it back in, you convert it. It is actually so scary.
Yep.
So I bet you one of the things that the two of you missed was not having to pay that cut.
Agreed. The other thing was beer. $7 minimum price for beer. That's 140 rand for a beer.
Yeah. It's a fiver. It's a fiver, yeah.
I was at Bootleggers the other day. I was getting a coffee, but they said after 4 p.m., $25 or 25 rand beer. I'm going, holy cow.
That's good value.
I was paying $140 for a beer.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's outrageous.
I bought the whole family Nando's when I landed. Like, I bought the whole family. I think it was like 650 rand or 700 rand. It came to like 30 euro. I have a steak in Adair. Like, I just went there one time to like celebrate a birthday or whatever. I paid 34 euro for a steak. Canton called me and he laughed at me. Whereas Canton said, I would like my 100 rand steak all day.
Absolutely. And that's also good here, right? You get good meat, and it's at a reasonable... It's still expensive, but it's a reasonable price compared to...
I know I took my son to Club Med at La Punta Conanier in Mauritius.
Yeah.
And I was chewing the meat for about 10 minutes before you can swallow it, you know? And even in America, like I told you, that pasta, that mince, which was...
Oh, my God.
It was like cornbread. But got here. And then Vetsky, my son's mom, told me, here's where you go for the meat. And although I'm a Hokai Fleisch guy, where I met you one time, because they got Watertand Boerewurst, which I believe is the best. I've had Boerewurst. I've been here 26 years. The best Boerewurst I ever had comes from that place. So
Joe Cimino, what a pleasure to have you back. I'm very glad you're in South Africa. Ryan, I'm very glad you could pop in this morning, and I hope you have a good stay while you're still here visiting.
Sorry?
And while you're still here, you're going back to Ireland after Christmas?
Yeah, I'm going just after Christmas, yeah. I've got to
get
a tan.
That you get to spend the Christmas with the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty miserable over there right now, so yeah.
Like,
weather-wise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I left on the day it started snowing, so it was very miserable.
So did I.
Yeah, yeah. And all the cars were sliding, and they didn't prepare for it. Like, they didn't put salt in the roads or anything, so cars and buses couldn't make it. I mean, I was meant to catch a bus to go to the airport to Dublin. And I was left on the side of the road. I had to get in my car and drive my car to my cousin in Kildare and then catch an Uber from there, which cost me 110 euro.
Even though you
worked
for them.
To drive an hour to the airport, which is insane.
Ouch.
Okay.
I want to throw out a Christmas gift, Gareth.
Oh, that's nice. Go on, Santa Jim.
I've been training companies. You know, we used to do individuals, and then we went to companies. I went from the Reserve Bank. We trained to the Treasury, to IBM International. But what I'd like to do is, if you want to in January, I would like to offer your employees a free seminar on all the things that they're doing wrongly and what they can do to fix it. And it's designed to get the the feeling of what's really happening to the staff. I mean, a lot of companies lose people because they need to earn more money. They're not coming into work. They do all this stuff. Well, if you could get your people, you know, financially aware of what they're doing and help them fix it, they become happier, more productive employees.
Where can we get hold of you?
EmployeeDynamicTraining@gmail.com.
Employee Dynamic Training, one word.
EDT.
@gmail.com. Awesome.
It's a free seminar. I'll talk to you on the phone. Send me an email. Take the credit cards out of your wallet. You got school fees in January. Uh-huh. Mic drop.
All right, there we go. So just in time to ruin the holidays. Josemino's back, ladies and gentlemen. Leanne Moll, thank you very much. Ryan, we'll see you soon. Yeah. Thanks for the visit. Joe, thank great you. As always. And have a good Monday, everybody. Don't go spending money you don't have. Mm.